الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I like to thank our brothers in the Zaytuna Institute for inviting me to address this distinguished gathering. However, it takes us from Bahrain more than 24 hours to arrive here, and they didn't give us even 1% of that time to talk to you. So, على كل حال, yesterday we heard from many of our brothers the fear of the other, of our competitors or enemies, if you show that they are distorting our picture and giving bad images of Islam and Muslims in the media. Brothers and sisters, from our rivals, this is only expected. And it is very easy to answer. We had a gathering in our country of many distinguished diplomats and military people from USA and other places, and I started and I said, if I mention that all your women are immoral, do you accept this? They said, what? What is this? I said, this is the picture Hollywood gives about your women and your family. However, we know that you are not like this. We have traveled. You are hardworking people, you are family-oriented people, and these immoral people are only minorities. Similarly, if you look, and this is your media about yourself, so if you look into your media what they say about us, and you learn only from that media, you will have negative images of Islam and Muslims. So to refute and to counter-attack these arguments is very easy. However, unfortunately, our biggest problem is in our own selves and among our own communities. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ أَيْسَ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ وَلَكِنْ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ. The devil or shaitan was desperate of being worshipped in the Arabian Peninsula. However, he was successful create animosities between them. And this is our problem, the success of shaitan to create animosities and differences among our societies and communities. And one of his weapons that he uses is that to make some of us accuse others with different types of stereotypes and accusations and slander. And one of the most common used, unfortunately, among Islamic communities, those who are practicing Islam in masajid and in Islamic centers everywhere in the Muslim world, is that to accuse each other with bid'ah. Now, there is no doubt that bid'ah or innovation in matters relating to deen, al-ibtida', is a very serious and dangerous thing. There are many hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith al-Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, innahu man ya'ish minkum ba'di fasayara ikhtilafan kathira fa'alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di tamassaku biha wa 'addu 'alayha bin-nawajid wa iyyakum wa muhdathat al-umur fa inna kull muhdathatin bid'a wa kull bid'atin dalala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, those of you are companions who will outlive me will see many differences. Hold tight to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and bite strongly on them, on his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the sunnah of the khulafa with your teeth, and beware from innovation, muhdathat al-umur, and the new matter. For every innovated and new matter is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, leads you astray and in the wrong way. And there are many hadiths about bid'ah and the dangers of
bid'ah.
So it is a dangerous thing, no doubt. What is the definition of bid'ah? There are many definitions among the scholars. The best one that I have seen is Ash-Shatibi's definition. He says, طَرِيقَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ مُخْتَرَعَةٌ تُضَاهِ الشَّرْعِيَّةَ وَيُقْصَدُ بِالسُّلُوكِ عَلَيْهَا الْمُبَالَغَةُ فِي التَّعَبُّدِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. Roughly translated as a new and way or path in deen, in religion, which appears or which looks like the shar'i path, or tries to imitate it. And the intended purpose of following it is to excessively worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to indulge in excessive acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very accurate definition, and I had mentioned the detailed description of it, but I will pass it because there is no time. Islam wants to guide us here clearly that our religion is complete. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. It does not need innovation. Why do bother yourself with these bid'ah, with these innovations in matters of religion? Concentrate all of your effort and energy in innovating in matters of this life, in technology, in science, in whatever. And unfortunately, many Muslims did not follow this guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have innovated many acts and things that make practicing Islam difficult and makes it a burden and consumes many precious time. The stand of the Muslims regarding the bid'ah aspect is between two extremes of many Muslims. As it is usual, as Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahmatullahi alayh, it is usual for people to go between two extremes and forget the middle path and the middle way. And here we have those on the one side who do not see anything as bid'ah, and they have incorporated all sorts of superstition and additions which have no relations absolutely to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam. And there are such groups. On the other extreme, on the other end, we find those who are terrified by these innovations done by this first group and became sort of protectionists. And because they were afraid that our deen will vanish like the Christians and the Jews did after their bid'ah and their innovation and their distorted messages, they, in good intention sometimes of preserving the original message and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went to little bit the other extreme. And in the zealous cause of fighting bid'ah, have also refuted and excessively objected to matters which cannot be attributed to bid'ah. Some of these matters or subjects that they have objected to have genuine roots in Sharia, in the Quran, in Sunnah, and teaching of the Sahaba and Tabi'in and Fuqaha. The scholars who accepted these matters have their own ijtihad based on sound reasoning and deduction methods derived from usul al-fiqh. And my topic here is mostly concerned and related with this group, with this subject. Accusing your brothers and sisters with bid'ah is a very serious sin. It is very serious and dangerous, because once you stereotype them and categorize them in that category, then this person will be related to all the negative attributes mentioned in our heritage about bid'ah wal-mubtadi'een, about the innovator. And there are many narrations mentioning very bad things narrations from Sahaba, from Tabi'een and other scholars, that for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept from a mubtadi' neither his obligatory duties nor his other duties, his nafil duties. لا يقبل الله من المبتدع صرفا ولا عدلا. There are other texts and narrations which mention that the مبتدع must be boycotted. هجر المبتدع. So all these narrations must lead us to be very cautious and very careful in accusing our brothers and sisters with this very slanderous word bid'ah or مبتدع. Even the scholars mention that even if somebody commits one bid'ah or two bid'ahs, he will not be called a mubtadi' until his whole methodology and his whole life is built on that bid'ah. And this judgment must be left to the highest grade of scholars and eminent fuqaha, not made a subject of chewing gum between our youth and mosques and Islamic centers and everywhere. And if we do not adhere to this manner, brothers and sisters, there will be endless disputes and quarrels. Sometimes even I have seen, unfortunately, fist fighting between our youth regarding very minor matters in this aspect. And even it may lead Muslims to boycott each other, to leave this masjid or that center and go to other places and segregate the community and diversify the community divide the community in a very negative manner. And if you look into how much time and effort we have lost in disputing these matters, precious time and effort that must be utilized in serving the cause of Islam and in protecting our children and our youth, especially here, and in preaching Islam and da'wah among the thirsty but ignorant about this message. People, those who are thirsty for this message and do not know anything about Islam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses some of them and they declare the shahada, they say the burden of our sins and of our previous life is upon your shoulders. Because of you, we remained in shirk. Nobody came to talk to us, nobody came to teach us, nobody came to tell us about Islam. So, I had mentioned here detailed example of some of these topics. There are many, many topics which may appear at the surface to some of our brothers who do not study deeply that they may be bid'ah. However, they are not. And I have mentioned, for example, here the supplication after salah, du'a ba'da salat al-mafrooda, the collective supplication, du'a al-jama'i, the wiping your face with both your hands after du'a, madh al-wajh du'a, just as trial cases to show some of these people who will mention that these things are bid'ah, that they are not. And I have mentioned long quotations of ahadith and the texts from the books of shuruh al-hadith like Fath al-Bari, Hafiz ibn Hajar, explaining the scholar's opinion very widely. I have no time to go into all this detail because they told me only 20 minutes. So I am very sorry about that. I have mentioned here one of my favorite subjects, the trimming of beard. So much fighting in the mosques about the trimming of beard and how much you should trim or not trim, and whether it is allowed to trim it or you must leave it without any trimming, and or you must, it must go to a qabwa, you know, the fist, full fist of your hand, and many subjects that relate to this. And I have quoted very nice quotations about this subject. I will just mention one. Imam al-Tabari said,
رحمه الله تعالى: إن الرجل لو ترك لحيته لا يتعرض لها حتى أفحش طولها وعرضها لعرض نفسه لمن يسخر به. إمام الطبري صاحب التفسير, the author of the famous جامع البيان, the most authoritative commentary on the Quran, he said, and he said this in his one of his very famous books, it's called تهذيب الآثار, a very very excellent book of fiqh al-hadith, and it was the collection of his fiqh actually. Unfortunately, we received only portions of this great work, and they are published in scattered volumes. It is one of the greatest works of fiqh that I have ever read, and he mentions this in that book. However, this quotation is from Fath al-Bari. He mentions this. He says, Imam al-Tabari, that a man, if he leaves his beard without trimming, and then it becomes excessively broad or excessively tall, then he will make himself subject of ridicule by people. And this is, he's saying, 1,000 years ago, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. And I have mentioned all the opinions regarding this matter from the time of Sahaba, Ibn Umar and other Sahabas, mentioning this subject. And also I have mentioned in the paper the other disputed, many other disputed things, only just as examples, that things that I see daily in our masajid between youth in our areas, in the Islamic centers here in America and Europe, like whether it is permitted to shake hands after salat or not, whether it is whether you are allowed to have special worship in the night of 27th of Ramadan or not, whether salat al-tasbih is allowed or not, whether anashid is bid'ah or not, whether saying dua of khatm al-Qur'an is bid'ah or not, tafawuf, what is accepted and what is not accepted, matters relating to death, like mourning the deceased or accepting condolences and sitting 3 days or reciting some of the Quran in his tawab, and these matters all in detail I have mentioned in the Arabic paper and in the English paper in a little bit less detail. And inshallah I ask Sheikh Hamza to make it available to you in a more accessible and better English than my own. And with this I will end. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.